It's exciting because you're going to have a young, energetic, fresh start from every aspect, from the general manager down to the player. If you're a current player, even if you're under contract, you better perform, because every person on this team has to reprove themselves and earn their job this coming camp.
And if that message isn't being heard by the players, they haven't been listening. If Gus Bradley has preached anything, it's that it's going to be about competition, and it's not going to matter what you've done before or what your name is or any of that stuff. It's going to be about what you do on the field once OTA starts.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Day after free agency opens, and there is a lot to discuss relative to the NFL. Some things with the Jaguars as well. And I'm Brian Sexton, along with the Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Cerebral show this evening. None of the bluster from Boselli, although Lagerman is cerebral. We'll give him that.
He's got a little bluster to him.
Yeah, occasionally. You know, I mean, he brings it. I think he brings it more to combat the guy sitting next to you most of the time. But this is your show. It's the John Osher show, so to speak.
Can we have a Jaguars This Week without Boselli and Lagerman? I mean,
we're about to find out.
All right, well,
we're about to find out. It's nice to see you.
I think we've done it before.
Thanks for being here.
It feels like Jaguars reporters only...
Me, you know, instead of Cole.
You're no Culpepper, put it that way.
I'll do my best.
Take that how you will.
I'll do my best to keep it rolling along. How's that? I'm a little less structured than he is, I know. So let's start, first of all, with the phone number. The Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. News today relative to the Jaguars. And there was a flurry of activity last night. Twitter blew up as folks were tracking players moving all over the league. And, John, I have no doubt that you were inundated. When are the Jaguars going to do something? When are they going to do something? Today they did. They signed Geno Hayes, the former Florida State Seminole, who has played with the Bucks and the Bears, and they released LaRon Robinson. So give us your take on the first moves by David Caldwell in free agency.
Well, first of all, the phrase you used was exactly right. People in free agency want their team to do something, anything. And they don't really care what it is. I actually just got an email from Tanya Ganguly, and we always used to joke during free agency that fans just want their team to sign what? Somebody they've heard of.
Right.
Oh, my goodness, I've heard of them. This is great. So maybe the Geno Hayes signing, I don't know how that's been received. He's not very high profile, so maybe fans are going, who is he? But he's exactly what this franchise talked about signing. Talking to Dave Caldwell earlier today, he's young, he's got a lot to prove, he's athletic. That's what they want in a free agent. They don't want the familiar name. They don't necessarily want the overpriced guy who's going to come in here and be 29 years old and be done in 2 years. They're looking to build this thing, and he fits the profile. He's 25 years old, as a matter of fact. I think he's going into his sixth year in the league. So he's a really young free agent. He's also of that level that if by chance he wouldn't work out, if he doesn't start, if he gets beat out and it's just a disaster, which nobody expects, he doesn't hurt you on the salary cap. He doesn't hurt their plan going forward. And right now, the plan and the process is the most important part of this thing.
All right, so Geno Hayes in, LaRon Robinson out. And the news just a few weeks ago was that he had been medically cleared to go ahead and play. But, you know, John, I couldn't help but wonder. Here's a guy who had no concussions, at least no recorded concussions, before he started here last year. Had four. Went on IR. Well, you have four concussions as a receiver where you're going to take hits. If you're sitting in David Caldwell's chair looking at his contract, you've got to make the move to release him. You can't take that chance.
Yeah, and again, talking to David about this today, he said, look, with a player like LaRon, with a player like DeJuan last week, with Aaron, it's not a matter of can they eventually play. Can they play in the league at some point? Can they contribute somewhere? It's do these guys fit with what we think is going to happen going forward. And Dave said with LaRon, it was purely he doesn't fit in our plans going forward. He's not the type of receiver we want at that spot. So why keep him now? Why keep him through the offseason when you really know you're probably going to part ways at some point early? This is going to be a year of transition, a year of a lot of roster moves. The feeling was he probably wasn't going to fit into that spot, so why not go ahead and move on? It's tough. Because fans have seen these guys. They've gotten familiar with their names. They've seen the salaries they've gotten before, and they assume that these are the best guys for these positions at this point. This regime coming in has a mandate: evaluate this roster and make decisions on what you think is best for the future. You can't worry about what happened in the past.
You know, I will say that it's almost refreshing. I mean, Terrence Knighton just signed with the Broncos, and Derek Cox is not going to be back. We'll sign somewhere. I assume the same thing when you look and you see that Darryl Smith, you know, has not been rushed to sign here yet.
That would be the assumption.
Right.
It's awfully hard, as you know, Brian. Once a player hits the open market, it's tough for that player ego-wise. It's tough for that player agent-wise, because the agent is saying, we're done here, let's go look at something else. It's tough to go back. With a high-profile guy, they usually don't go back, even though there's all these fans always assume, oh, they'd want to come back to the hometown team, hometown discount. That's usually not how it works. But I interrupted you on Darryl Smith.
Well, no, I just wanted to go back to the refreshing part about it. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans that are thinking, Sexton, are you crazy? How refreshing is it to lose a good defensive tackle, although he didn't play well last year, a good cornerback who could be very good, but he didn't play often last year because he was injured. Darryl Smith's been their best linebacker, maybe their best defender over the last five. How is that refreshing to see all that talent go? And I guess I come back to the very bottom line. They were 2-14.
You
and
have
at some
a,
point, you change.
You come in with a plan, and you stick to it. And we were talking before the break. If there was one thing you might fault the old regime for, was they knew that the draft was the proper way to go. Every pro person does. You can make the argument that in the last couple of years, they got away from that perhaps a little too much. A lot of teams do. A lot of GMs do. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have come in with a mandate. Right now, they are able to stick to this plan. They have the time to stick to this plan. It's the proper way to build. I would be surprised if they get away from it very soon, because they know you have to build through the draft. And if you muddle up the salary cap with players who might not win starting jobs, with guys who are making big salaries, that doesn't bode well for being able to make the moves you need to make down the road.
Well, and you just said the key words, muddle up the salary cap. You can't afford to do that.
I
think they came into the start of free agency 32, 33 million under the cap. You know, now LaRon not coming back and not signing. You know, a lot of the guys that are there, they are in an excellent position to keep their salary cap working for them instead of against them.
And it just doesn't make sense to go out and give a player such as Derek Cox, who I like, and all last year I wrote about him very positively in the Ozone in terms of how he was doing on the field, a key player. By the same token, when you're starting something new like they are, you don't want to have a player that you're looking at and saying, boy, I don't know if he's going to be on the field X number of plays. History shows that he hasn't been. And history also showed last year that on the weeks where he was coming back from injury, or the weeks where it was close, he perhaps did not have his best games in those weeks. He needed to be healthy to play at a high level. Most players do, but overall last year, his really good games were when he was going 100% healthy. So do you want that coming back at a certain level of pay? Yes. At an elite level, corner level of play? Perhaps not.
All right. We need our first break of the evening, Joel. Let's go ahead and take it now. We'll come back. There's lots of news from around the NFL today beyond just what's going on in Jacksonville, and we'll touch on it with John Osher, senior writer from Jaguars.com here on Jaguars This Week.
Thank you, Brian Sexton. Are you getting your Jaguars rewards, fans? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. A check of traffic and weather, then more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. If you need more information, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit Jaguars.com.
All right, Joe, Brian Sexton along with John Osher here on Jaguars This Week, day after the start of free agency. And we are talking about the reaction that you're seeing in your inbox from
sure.
Jaguars fans. You know, I thought Dave Caldwell and Gus set it up from the moment that they both arrived.
As did Shad.
As did Shad. Shad's words, I think, were, and I'm paraphrasing, let's not be delusional.
Yeah, that was the gist. Yes.
So let's look at it objectively, and let's create a plan, and let's go. So I wasn't surprised, although I shouldn't say that. I wasn't alarmed when, you know, they don't bring back Knight and they're not bringing back Cox. Because mm-hmm. I saw that was sort of the same old thing. What was it that, you know, Mr. Weaver used to say? You know, insanity is this, you know, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. These guys expect a different result. And so they're doing things differently. I guess I was a little surprised at letting all of them go. But
well,
I kind of find it refreshing.
If you look at each one individually, there's very logical reasons why a new GM would want to go in a different direction. And as we said before the break, Cox injured a lot. Daryl Smith going into his 10th year. I definitely feel like Daryl Smith will go somewhere, play a couple years, and probably play at a pretty high level. But to do that here and to do it as a stopgap and prevent a guy from playing that position, improving, getting better, and being part of the core when you're really going forward, that's not something you want to do if you're trying to restructure the roster and trying to change the direction of the team.
So from the inbox, people are worried about the season?
I'm worried about them from the inbox.
Really?
Because I'm not sure they're going to make it through this.
Okay.
I mean, there's a feeling that, oh my goodness, they're trying to get worse. What are they doing? Are they trying to lose next year? Well, this is all something that when you hire Dave Caldwell to reestablish the direction of the franchise, by its nature, you were getting a guy who believed in the draft, who wanted to build this thing moving forward with young players. Gus Bradley has talked about it many times. 2010 in Seattle, when they reshaped everything. They had, I think the number is 284 player transactions. They believe in creating a season of competition where by the end of this season, they know the direction they're going. They've seen strengths. They've seen maybe where they're weak, and they know exactly what to do going forward. They know the direction the franchise has been set. We sort of likened it to some of the years in the early years with this team, where each offseason you had a better idea than the offseason before where you were strong, where you were weak, where you needed to get better, and there was a general transaction. I mean, not transaction wrong, but arrow pointed generally up during that time because you knew each offseason where you needed to improve.
When you look at this football team, I mean, people could put it the quarterback right out of the gate because mm-hmm. it's a question mark, but up front on the offensive line, and you look at where the draft is rich, mm-hmm. you know, in players along the offensive line at the top of the first round, at the top of the second round. I think Dave said to you guys yesterday in Gainesville, if I saw the video correctly on Jaguars.com, that this is a draft rich in corners and safeties.
It is.
And there's lots of and players out there.
It goes deep at corner and safety. So I've kind of been saying, and this is purely speculation, it makes sense, a second and third round cornerback. You can get a big guy there. Doesn't have to be a burner necessarily to play in this system. Some people are sort of projecting D. Milliner from Alabama at number two. Two historically is high for a cornerback, meaning there's never been one taking that high. So, but it would stand to reason at 33, if you trade back a couple spots, you can probably get that player at that position if that's the direction they want to go. It's so tough to speculate with the draft because there are so many needs on this team. It wouldn't shock you to go any of four or five directions with that first pick.
Would you be surprised if you get a Geno Hayes sort of signing every 3 or 4 days?
Not at all. I mean, and
because they're going to have to put players on this roster. You got to have guys in camp.
As Dave said a few minutes ago, they're going to keep kicking the tires. And if a guy fits to where they're not a big salary risk, where they're young, where they might fit, where all of a sudden you sign maybe 4 or 5 guys like that. If 3 of them are good enough to be maybe not part of the core, but a part of the guys around the core who help you get through this, who help you compete, help you be better than you were last year, then I think they'd be happy with free agency on that front.
Center, guard, linebacker, safety. I mean, up the middle, you know, not the high-profile positions.
I think
you
might see a corner. If you saw a corner who they believed fit this system, as Joe said earlier, I think you've got 2 on the roster right now. I would think you'll see a veteran cornerback, maybe two on some level, just because, as Dave said, you've got to have leadership in some of these positions, but you've got to have leadership, the right kind, who can potentially also be players that fit, players who are getting better. You know, I think a misconception here is that some of these guys who have been released were guys who were playing at a very high level. The guys who have been released are guys that they feel like they can improve with the player acquisition, I guess, method they have before them.
Right. Well, and younger and cheaper in a lot of cases.
A younger free agent, a draft pick, or even a college free agent can come in and contribute at the same level that they expected these guys to be able to contribute.
Go back and touch on the cap here before we break for news at the bottom of the hour. The cap is flat again this year. There's some talk that it doesn't really jump until 15.
It'll jump when the TV revenue goes up.
Okay, so and I think that's after the 14 season is when it's supposed to?
Yes.
Okay, so that's when the bump really comes. And so the most important part of this is they build a winner. It's always important. Is to do it correctly with the salary cap so they have the flexibility to draft guys that become players that they can sign.
That and even taking the money out of the equation, historically, there's just not very much evidence to suggest that you build a team, particularly in the early years of that building process, by going out and trying to sign free agents to fill your needs. Simply because, as exciting as some of these names are, and there will be a few guys out of this class, whatever you want to call these free agents, who do well. But historically, the excitement over these players is usually followed 2 years later by what we've seen here, frankly. There are three unrestricted free agents remaining on this team. Paul Posluszny, Chad Henne, and Jason Spitz.
Who was brought in as a backup guard, right.
They have signed a lot more players than that over the last 4 years, 6 years. It is historically, and that's not just a slam on what's happened here before. Around the league, that same story is generally true.
When you look at this football team and the steps, and you've talked to Dave and Gus more than almost anybody, the steps that they're going through, the plan that they've put together, is it similar to what you saw with Bill Polian in Indianapolis?
I got there about 4 years into it.
And they had Peyton from the very beginning, so I know that changes it.
When you've got the quarterback, it makes everything look better around it. You know, a lot of plans might have worked with Peyton Manning at quarterback.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But their first year there in 98, they did very little free agency. Their second year, once they had Peyton established, they drafted Edger and James. They had a few things going in. They had Tarik Glenn at left tackle. They had Marvin Harrison, wide receiver. So they were set at a couple of spots with players they thought would be elite. They were getting very good on offense. In 99, they signed a lot of veteran free agents. A guy named Chad Cota, a guy named Chad Bratsky. Gone within a couple of years. They were basically stopgaps to get them through. But their first year, they did nothing until they figured out what they had, what they were. Very similar in Atlanta. And that's really the plan here. Dave wants to draft. He doesn't want to be sitting in the draft room and thinking, boy, I really like this outside linebacker, but I can't take that outside linebacker because I've just gone out and signed a free agent that I've got for 4 years that I have to play there. Geno Hayes, if Dave wants to draft an outside linebacker, he can draft that outside linebacker, and if he competes with Geno Hayes and beats him out, no harm, no foul. You don't want to go play free agency and stopgap these guys and then sit in the draft room and not be able to take the player that you think has an impact at that spot.
All right, so takeaway from the first half hour of the show as we go to news is that the Jaguars' plan is, if you didn't believe it before free agency started, their actions so far tell you that they've got it and they're going to follow it, and you're just going to have to be patient.
And as frustrating as it might be, and I get that it's frustrating because you go on Twitter, you look at the NFL Network, and there are people giving out grades, and next to the Jaguars, it's a big incomplete. But that's okay because, generally speaking, March is fantasy football. The fall is the reality, and there is just not much history to think that the right way to do it would be to be building through big spending right now.
All right, Joe, we'll pass it over to you and through you to the folks at WOKV.
Ready. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Check them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Yes, news is next, as well as a look at traffic and weather. Then more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio. Want to talk to John and Brian? Real easy to do. The Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, put an 800 in front of that. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
All right, just recapping. Terrence Knight, now a Denver Bronco, which is not a surprise because he had two good years, his first and second seasons playing for Jack Del Rio, and it was clear that this team was moving on. Today, LaRon Robinson, given his release, and the Jaguars signed Geno Hayes, the former Florida State linebacker who played for Tampa Bay and last year played in Chicago. So that's where we stand. How about a couple of thoughts from around the league? Percy Harvin, mm-hmm. traded to Seattle, $12 million a year, it seems.
That's a lot for a guy, you know.
Wes Welker.
Who's been inconsistent.
Wes Welker, Percy. $6 million a year. And Welker is going to play for Peyton Manning, and we were talking off the air about what a slot receiver does with Peyton Manning. All of a sudden now, it looks like Welker is maybe going to get even more production in Denver than he had with Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, somebody told me, I didn't see this, but I guess Brandon Stokley, who had been the slot receiver, had made a comment, you know, that's a great move even if it cost me a job. And, you know, Brandon's at the stage of his career where he can say that. He has very good perspective and everything. But if you give Manning that sort of a slot receiver, the things he can do, the key to the Colts offense, at least in the last 4 or 5 years that he was there, was having that slot receiver. He could work the outside. If you gave him a slot receiver, be that Dallas Clark when healthy, who played a lot of slot, or Austin Collie or Brandon Stokley, that's usually what took them from a very efficient offense to one that at times, as this fan base knows, could be unstoppable. Hey. And that's what made the difference, was giving him that option in the middle of the field. I'm not big on free agent signings typically. There are some that are exception to the rule. That's one that you look at and think it's hard to imagine that not being an immediate impact.
But look,
I think Wes Welker knew that that was a good fit.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And he went for half of what Harvin's getting. Now look, I mean, Harvin
was
the difference in the Jaguars winning and losing in that ball game on opening day last year. I mean, he made plays when the Vikings couldn't do anything else.
From Seattle's perspective,
$12 million a year.
A team that believes it's on the cusp.
Well, he's an exciting playmaker.
Yeah, that's one that
is. Wes Welker?
Well, it's sort of the classic free agent dilemma. Seattle looks at it and says, we're one element, maybe one player away. Usually that results in what happened here in 2009. When you believe you're one player away, the old adage in the NFL is you're never one player away.
Right.
Occasionally it works out, and maybe it'll work out for Seattle because as we all know, Percy has some things, you know, some peripherals, if you will, that aren't great, but he can make that difference in one or two games. If he wins him a playoff game, then it's a great move.
Well, we saw Welker time and again.
Mm-hmm.
He was unstoppable. I mean, he just was in the right
place. With the right quarterback, with a guy who can use that. For a slot guy, getting the ball in front of you or getting the ball out, you know, behind you or in front of you can make a huge difference. If you get the ball and you're running, all of a sudden you turn a 8-yard pass into a 30-yard pass. Peyton, Brady, those guys who are really accurate, who can see the field, who can look off outside receivers and get to a third option, can really use that slot guy. That move makes Denver very dangerous. At the same time, the way New England plays, you can easily see them taking somebody else and putting right in that position and not missing Welker that much. But adding that to the Broncos makes them very dangerous.
Reading your story on NFL.com right now, the gist of it is that Tom Brady is really unhappy that Wes Welker left for such a manageable number, $6 million a year. He reworked his deal.
Yeah, but he's married to Giselle. He'll get over it.
Yeah, I guess he probably will. But it just goes to show what that guy means.
Sure.
Another team.
Well,
go ahead.
And again, as a quarterback, it's tough to overestimate what having somebody that you know will be in the proper spot matters. It especially matters for a quarterback on the level of Brady, Manning, Aaron Rodgers, when they know exactly where a guy is going to be, it gives them such a security before the snap when Peyton's up there changing plays and he knows that he's got a guy in the slot who he doesn't have to think about the fact that he'll be 7 yards down, 4 yards in at the 3 second mark. Makes a huge difference in terms of what they can call, how they can avoid a rush, everything. So Brady knows that that's a huge thing, that now he has to find that somewhere else, be it from the tight end or be from a receiver.
Well, you know, he threw 25 touchdown passes in 2008 to Randy Moss, and then Randy Moss leaves. He doesn't even blink. He doesn't bat an eye.
And
now he loses this guy,
right.
And it's the first time you've really heard him question what's going on up there in New England, because he always just was a team guy.
And it's often a case with a guy like Welker where when the quarterback comes to the line and he knows, because Welker's presence on the field, he knows how a defense will respond. The Colts used to have with Marvin Harrison all the time. They knew that a defense would play Marvin a certain way, which meant they could call a certain play to the other side of the field that worked automatically. Welker is certainly the level of guy in terms of his route running, in terms of having the experience with how a defense or a certain type of defense will play him.
Right.
He's that kind of guy that it worries a quarterback when you don't have that element in your game plan.
All right, let's take a break. We went a little bit long earlier. We'll come back. We'll talk about what the Dolphins have done, what the Chiefs have done in particular, coming off of a 2-14 season. Look ahead to the next couple of days of free agency and some guys who are sitting out there on the market and when maybe they go. You're listening to Jaguars This Week with John Osher sitting in this evening as the featured guest. Joe, take it.
You got it, Brian. Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. You sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league, and you can earn points every time you post something Jaguars. You can use those points to win some great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London. That's jaguars.com/social league. Jaguars This Week, presented by Anna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton along with John Osher, Joe Fortunato here, Jaguars This Week. Baselli and Lagerman back next week, Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll look forward to that.
It's kind of nice. I mean, you've got some breathing room to really explain your philosophy.
Johnny gets to talk.
People can read it all the time, but it's nice to hear it. Hey, a couple of teams that are drafting right around where the Jaguars are. Let's start with Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they made the big trade, gave up the draft picks for Alex Smith. They have since gone out and spent money on Dante Robinson, the corner.
They spent money.
From Atlanta and the former Houston Texan. And the big tight end, Anthony Fasano, from Miami, who had a big game against the Jags last December, is a free agent here now in Kansas City. They're putting some money on the table.
Yeah.
And it's as if they're saying, look, we have six Pro Bowlers. We're going to go win this year.
Well,
Very different tack.
I think the thing you said is exactly right. A little different situation. They had six Pro Bowlers, so rightly or wrongly, they clearly believe that the talent is such that you can take some pieces and put them with that. I'm always skeptical, no matter what you think you have, of trying to boost that too much with free agency, because history just shows it doesn't work. But we'll see. You know, they've added the quarterback. For some fans, the Chiefs have done what they hoped the Jaguars would do, which is add some pieces, add the quarterback, and try to go win with this style next year. You know, I just believe that as much as it might hurt, the proper way to do it is to build through the draft and to take the patient approach that you're building for the long term. Maybe that means improving rapidly next year. Maybe it means waiting. But, you know, I keep going back to it. History just shows that this is the best way to build a franchise.
You know, and then let's talk about the Eagles now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking about Dream Team the last couple of years with all the money they put into Asamoah and just countless players.
That was great.
Yeah, it really worked out well, didn't it? That's why Andy Reid is now in Kansas City.
Well, and what's funny, Brian, I'll interrupt you.
No, please do.
2 years ago, right when I first got here, you don't know the number of emails I got begging people to sign the guy, begging people to do what the Eagles were doing. I mean, hammered. And now most of those guys are released, and they're in no better situation. It's just
Asamoah was cut.
Right.
Colin Jenkins was cut. He signed in that same group.
You hear all these, well, they've got to do it this way. And one thing that I do empathize with the fans who are looking at this from the outside, I get that these are things you've heard before. I get that this team has built before. I get all that. But just because that didn't work before doesn't mean that you can go back and not try to do things right. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley can't sit here right now and think, you know what? These fans have been through too much. I've got to show them on March 13th, I've got to give them a sign that we're serious about it, so I'm going to go overpay a guy. That would be irresponsible on their part. That would be easy to do right now.
Sure.
And they'd be very popular. They could go out and have the parade in the streets and walk out with their fist in the air. But that would be irresponsible, because anybody who knows football can look at this situation and know that you have to build through the draft.
Hey, the Eagles, right?
Sure.
They go through, they sign a bunch of players, Colin Jenkins, Asamoah, you know, trade for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And now, you know, they cut Jenkins, they cut Asamoah. So look at what they've done now. Brand new coach,
mm-hmm.
right? Chip Kelly comes in, signs Patrick Chung, the safety from the Patriots. Isaac Sopagawa, the big defensive tackle, mm-hmm. defensive tackle, in the middle from San Francisco. They go get the fullback slash H-back, Casey, who's a nice player. And I think they paid him $4 or $5 million mm-hmm. a year. He's going to be a fullback slash H-back there. And they go sign a cornerback from the Rams, Bradley Fletcher. I mean, they are right back to doing what got them into that position.
Probably not
first
quite as freewheeling. I mean, it's not they're not making guys the highest paid corner in the league. But, you know, again, I guess to each their own. I felt like I had a good grasp of what Dave was going to be about. Having covered polling for 10 years, his approach doesn't surprise me. It's very in line with that. We are not going to play fantasy football in March. We're going to build this thing through the draft. We're going to keep the cap correct, and that gives us the best chance to be a competitive situation long term. I do understand that it's a difficult concept for fans to grasp, because when you see tweets going out everywhere, when you see the NFL Network blowing up with grades, with winners and losers, there is a tendency to think that if your team's not involved with that, that your team's not trying. And it's just something that there's always going to be a disconnect, I guess, between fans and management on that. But I said it over and over again, broken record time, but it's the way to do it.
One more team that has really rung the cash register, and that's Miami. Mike Wallace, the receiver, we're talking about $10 million a year for him. They let Reggie Bush go, but they bring in the linebacker who most people saw play for the Ravens this year, Ellerbe, and he played fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then they go and get Philip Wheeler, a guy you know from your time in Indianapolis.
I do.
Got a good deal from
shocked me
from the Raiders, and they gave him a big deal. So, you know, they're out there spending now too.
Yeah, Philip must have improved a great deal from when I covered him, and it's very possible that he has.
He was just a guy, if I remember right. He played on Gary
had
Brackett.
Ability.
Yeah, and he was in that run and hit thing, but he had Brackett who was playing inside of him up there.
From a distance, the Dolphins look like a team signing these guys very short term. They appear the model for how teams that believe you don't build that way, that's what they show. I mean, they look like a team that's signing too many guys, trying to make too much of a quick impact. We shall see if they're the exception to the rule.
Well, I mean, obviously they've got that young quarterback, and Mike Wallace gives them that kind of down-the-field weapon, but $10 million a year for a receiver.
They look terrific right now.
In March.
But, right, and the point I'm making is, usually the storyline there is excitement. They'll be very covered in training camp. The national media will be there in droves. We'll see in week 8 if they're still there.
Okay.
Usually those two, I mean, and again, they could be complete. I mean, they could go 8-0, but usually that is not a thing that happens.
Well, you look at the teams that are consistent winners that don't normally get involved in the early side of free agency. You know, the Steelers, the Patriots. I mean, the Ravens obviously are not a big free agent team. They've been strapped by their cap, and they've had to let some guys go.
Interesting that Joe can confirm this, but the Eagles really weren't for a long time a big free agent team.
No, they let guys go.
No, never. Right, yes, right. They were always.
And then all of a sudden, at the very end, they sort of went "quote unquote," you know, all in free agency, and that was the result. So
it was very surprising. It was very surprising.
Well, and the results really weren't.
And look, people are tired of losing. I mean, that's not hard to understand. But when you look and see the teams that are working in it and consistently are playing at a high level year in and year out. It, frustrated as you may be that you're not signing and that guys are leaving, there is at least some sense of security, some sense of they're doing it the right way.
Now, the other side of that is, and just as I would say in mentioning the Colts, who did it the same way for the 10 years I was there, it's much easier to do that when you know what you got behind the center. And every one of those teams we just talked about is solid behind center. Once you get solid behind center, it's much easier to follow this game plan. That said, not following it just because you're not solid behind center is still not the way to get up to the top.
To build it.
You got to find the quarterback, and then you got to do it the right way.
You know, in today's
NFL,
it's
a tough combination to find.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
I'm not saying it's easy.
They've been looking here for years. In the last minute that we have, when you look, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. Normally a roster from year to year has about 30% turnover, 25 to 30%. What do you think it'll be this year? In terms of the 90 guys that are here when training camp opens, what percentage of them will not have been here?
Well, again, I think when training camp opens, I think the thing that I keep getting from talking to Dave Caldwell is that date isn't necessarily the date to wonder about. When you talk to him, he talks about competition and
opening day.
People coming in and leaving opening day, regular season, on end. So
season finale.
All right.
John, thanks.
Thanks,
Brian. Great to hear from you tonight. John Osher joining us. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week with Jaguars This Week. Have a great night, everybody.
WOKV AM Jacksonville.